We're going to start a new study this morning. If you want to turn to Colossians. In finishing Ephesians, we saw, you know, those last encouragements. Paul says, really he says it twice in the book. Finally, but then he goes on and on and on. And then he comes to another place and he says, finally, again. And he encourages us. And we talked about how these last sayings, how we should actually think, and these different truths that we can apply in our lives, that we would actually live out our faith. And the Philippian church, the church at Philippi, was a really divided church, a church that was full of different problems, mainly these schisms in this division. And Paul writes that in knowing Christ and having the mind of Christ, if we have the mind of Christ, that brings unity, that brings harmony. And so he encourages us in that. And so I would say that the letter to the Philippians was a letter to the church to correct these things and to encourage the church. Colossians, the letter to the city of Colossae, is just a hair different. If the letter to Ephesians and Philippians were kind of to correct things and deal with the church, I think Colossians, it's a letter to reveal, just some beautiful traits and to remind us of the supremacy and the preeminence of Jesus himself. And it's kind of like if I grow in Jesus, if I become more intimate with Jesus. I mean, that's what I need. I mean, I don't need anything else. If I'm struggling in a certain area, and if I would become more intimate with Jesus and allow, Jesus to increase in my life, just like John the Baptist says, then I would actually decrease, and the Lord would be more of a reality in my life. I think of the church today, and at times I think the church is, hidden in certain ways. And, to know Jesus, to experience Jesus, I always want to go back to those first days. And sometimes I ask myself, what has changed? Well, years have gone by, many years. And in those many years, I think a complacency has set in. Maybe a familiarity has taken over. And things just don't seem as exciting as they did before. And I need to be refreshed and renewed and revived in the Holy Spirit. That's why we prayed last week, that the Lord would baptize us anew and afresh in the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I shared it here, but the Lord just been, for a few months, it popped into my head, and I shared it Wednesday night. I'm out in the world, I'm working, I'm just Joe Contractor. And so not that I was challenging the Lord, but, I'm in all these different places, in commercial places, there's people coming in. Some of those places, like the quick fills and stuff, and the car dealerships and so on, there's people in there all the time. And I said, Lord, these people don't know me from anybody. Paint all over my clothes, caulk over my pants, whatever. Lord, I want somebody to come up to me and engage me. Where's your church? I want to be witness to. Where's your church? And I just have to be honest. I said this for about 6 months. It never happened. I was in these places. And I say, even people that it would drive in at times, like down the car dealership, I would look, even for a bumper sticker on those things. I don't see bumper stickers anymore. I don't see anything. And I said, wow, I remember when it was different. I remember when the church was really engaging the world. And what has happened to us? We need renewed. We need a revival. We need to come back to that place where that you know, we're excited about what Jesus. I guess it's almost like I've been touched and I've experienced the love and the grace of God. How could I not be sharing that with everybody that I meet? And so, you know, you wonder why church growth today is just movement from one church to another. This is a hip church now, so I'm going to go there. And there's no real growth in the church. Why? People aren't really being saved. And why? Because sheep aren't producing sheep. And so hopefully in Colossians, we're going to see Jesus revealed, who Jesus is, and the preeminence and the excellency of who Jesus is. And to know that and to have that again, just be reminded of that or have that touch our hearts again. Wow, that's got to be exciting. It's got to be something that would touch our hearts, maybe impact our lives. And so Paul writes to this church. This church was located in the area of Laodicea, Philadelphia, Phrygia. And Paul never visited the church at Colossae, as far as we know. But he felt a need to write to them because he loved them. Paul writes, he's going to write to correct some error and to a heresy, to correct the heresy which had infiltrated the church. And to do that, he's just going to concentrate again on who Jesus is, the real Jesus, and the truths about who Jesus was. The first couple, we could divide the book real easy. The first couple chapters are what Paul always did. He deals with these issues. You could call them like doctrinal issues or theological issues. And then the last part, if we know the doctrine, if we know the issues, if we know the truth, then we have to act in it. We have to live it. There's no point in me knowing all this truth if it doesn't impact my life. If it's not, you know, kind of being acted out or lived out in my life today. And so the second part is just this practical input that Paul gives. So Colossians, it was really a small town. It was a trade town, a fairly wealthy town. But as Laodicea and Philadelphia grew, its influence and wealth and so on diminished. And it's believed about 60 AD, an earthquake literally destroyed the town. It doesn't exist today. And it never was rebuilt. And so Paul loved the church at Colossae. Let's go to Colossians 1. We're just going to try and do the first chapter. Let the word itself introduce it. Paul, an apostle. All Paul's saying is that he is an individual who's been commissioned and called by God. An apostle, the Greek word simply means a sent one. Some of the Greek concordances add with a message, because they were sent by God with a message. And so Paul was one who was sent with a message, and he was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. It wasn't something that Paul chose to do. God struck him down on the road to Damascus and called him and commissioned him. We've been doing Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians Wednesday nights, and a huge part of those letters, Paul is continually being attacked for why he's doing it, his motives for preaching, his character is being assassinated. And Paul says a number of times in those letters. I'm not going to boast. I'm really not going to give a defense, although here is my defense. I do not need any letters of recommendation or commendation by any man. God has appointed me, commissioned me, and sent me. And when you talk about a person or a pastor being ordained, a church, really what a church does in ordination is simply recognize and maybe a fish, you know, in a way say, hey, that we recognize God's called this person. And so we're going to lay hands on him and pray for him. Ordained. It's really not even, in my mind, an action that the church is initiating. They're just recognizing what God's already done. God's called this individual. This individual is ministering. He's preaching the gospel, or they're ministering in the gospel. And so Paul, by the will of God, was one sent with a message, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we see Timothy. Timothy was this young believer who came alongside Paul and went with Paul and traveled with Paul, lived with Paul, ultimately became a pastor. Pastor of, we know, Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. And this young man who was really used by God in some really neat ways. And it just reminds me of the fact that it's good to be a disciple, and it's good to be a discipler. Hopefully, after years and years and years of walking with the Lord, I'm discipling another guy. While I'm still being discipled, there are still guys I look to that, you know what, I want to be discipled by you. I'm never going to stop learning and growing, and I want to be a disciple, but I want to be a discipler. Where are the older men discipling the younger men, and where are the older women discipling the younger women? And so we need to be discipling. And so Timothy was one of Paul's disciples. To the saints. He's writing to the saints. All those who are born again. Not all those who have been framed in a stained glass window. Or had a statue, you know, made of them, or a portrait. No. Any believer is a saint. We're saints sitting here this morning. And so to the saints, and I like this, and faithful brethren. You know, hopefully we're saints and then we're faithful. We're faithful in the Lord. We're faithful in the Word. We're faithful to what God's called us. In Christ, who are in Colossae. You know, the Siamese twins of Paul's introductions, grace and peace. Grace to you. You know, it's so important that we've received God's grace. Grace to you. And once I've received God's grace, isn't the order just perfect? I can't have peace with God until I've experienced the grace of God. And so grace and then peace, I have peace with God. And then I can have the peace of God. And then I can even experience peace, as we saw in an earlier study, that passes even my intellect, my understanding. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. That peace continually just flows from, again, the source. You know, that I would have that peace, that I would each day be appropriating and experiencing and being renewed. I just think of, you know, when we sing that song, I was telling somebody the other day, because I probably sing it 5-6 times a week, different places that we're at, certainly down at the nursing homes, without question, they want to sing Amazing Grace. And I sing it so much that it just, you know, I forget that, you know, just how amazing that is. You know, that God would take you, that God would take me, his enemy, a person that hates him, despises him, and would die and forgive me and give me life. Wow. Just how amazing. And then beyond that, just will we ever, until we see him face to face, really, again, just be able to even grasp? I'm sure not. You know, the totality of that grace. How each day, each moment, no matter where we're at, what his grace will always be sufficient. His grace is always there. It's always being offered. It's always being poured out. And you and I are just the benefits of it. Wow. How amazing it is. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to skip that next word, for you. Isn't that interesting? Where's Paul right now? He's in prison. When he's writing this, he's in prison. And he's giving thanks for them. Am I thankful for the church? See, we confuse things. The church, oh, that old First Lutheran, First Methodist, Calvary Chapel. It's not the church. Look at the person next. That we're the church. Did you give thanks for the church this week? Paul, he was so thankful for the church. We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, he gave thanks for them. He prayed for them. We see in the other letters, he prayed continually. He wasn't in the prison. Oh, why are you doing this to me, God? Oh, I served you so faithfully. Why are you? He didn't even have a thought about himself. He was praying for them. He was thankful for them. So he had an intimacy with Jesus that he was outside himself. Jesus was other-centered, and Paul definitely was other-centered. Most of my problems really come when I'm just looking in the mirror. It's an ugly sight. We give thanks. We're praying for you. And why was he so excited? Because they had a faith, and it was a faith that was, you know, outside themselves. They weren't promoting themselves. But Paul was hearing of their faith that was alive, their faith that was impacting. And again, not to get on it, but just think, being honest, the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You can go on and on and on, you know, staying different. Is the church today, I mean, turning the world upside down, impacting the culture, changing the culture, and, you know, is it changing our community? Is it changing our school system? Is it are the bars closing and the drug houses shutting down? Is a church impacting the? Nah, I have to be honest, not really. And so, you know, that's why we just need to pray. Lord, revive me. Lord, fill me again. Because even if it's one, I'm going to be praying, I'm going to be witnessing, I'm going to be sharing. I'm going to be spreading the gospel. They heard of their faith in Christ Jesus. And then they loved each other. And they loved, I think, the other churches. They loved the saints. And it was evident. Give me a love. Give me a love for the church. Instead of always seeing all the faults and all the failings, help me to love the church. Help me to love Jesus' bride. In my younger days, if somebody said something about my bride, I'd probably punch him in the face. Why? Because I love my bride. And you don't talk about my bride. How do you think Jesus feels? Right? When we're always disparaging the church, you're talking about his bride. I think it breaks his heart. And so I'm thankful for the bride. I'm praying for the bride. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it is also in all the world, and it is bringing forth fruit, as it is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. See, Paul's hearing this from this faithful minister. That's where he's become, I think, acquainted with the church at Colossae. Paul didn't go there. He didn't birth the church. He didn't preach the gospel. Epaphras did. Isn't it neat? God has all these faithful ones, you know, that are preaching the gospel and ministering his word. Epaphras being one of them. And so Epaphras preached the gospel in the gospel. Isn't it a neat thing to have a hope? I think, man, without Jesus, how hopeless this thing would be. In the last 2 weeks, I've done two funerals, and both of them were, quite a bit, different one from the other. The one, how hopeless. I think in the one, I told you that I think one road, that as I was sharing the gospel, the Lord told me to share John 11, Lazarus, how they actually were like mocking the things of the Lord. And you're right there, and death is staring you right in the face. What is there beyond this life without Jesus? Not much. And so the hope, I don't know about you, but read 1 Peter 1. Those are some of the neatest verses. That's our inheritance. That's what is guaranteed. That's what we possess right now. Incorruptible. Will never fade. Unstained. Heaven. Wow. So the hope of heaven, salvation, was was shared. And I like what he says. As it was shared and they were born again, as they became saints, then they're sharing with us. It's continuing. There's fruit. It's gone out into the world, he says. Verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Wow, there's a second time. Paul's a prayer warrior, isn't he? He's praying. He's praying for them. We ask, and what a neat prayer. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I don't know what to pray for them. Go back and repeat the prayers in Ephesians. Paul's consistent in his praying, isn't he? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That you might grow to understand and comprehend the height and the depth, the length and the breadth of God's love for you and for... that we might be filled with wisdom, that we might be filled with understanding. Well, that's a prayer I can pray right? I can stick a face in every one of those prayers. A different face. Wow, that fits all our faces. Right? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know exactly what you might be experiencing. Good, bad, indifferent, high, low. But boy, that you'd be filled with the knowledge of His will, that you would be filled with wisdom, that you would be filled with spiritual understanding. Man, that I am just not oblivious to the fact that the spiritual is the real. Right? Why did that person pass me, lay on the horn, and make a gesture with their hand? I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. Well, I think I'll just speed up and pass them. I can do gestures too. And you're speeding up and you pass them and do your gesture, and then all of a sudden, uh-oh, they're speeding up and going to pass you. Uh-oh, what's going on here now? Do they have a gun? Are they bigger than me? It's a spirit. It's spiritual, isn't it? Boy, why didn't I just pray right then? Why didn't I recognize that for what it is? Why was I set off by what that person said? Did they really say that? Was their tone what I took it to be? Or is the enemy just playing? Is he just shooting some darts at me? Wow. Why am I anxious? Why is my mind racing? Why have I suddenly awoken? And I should, didn't we get an extra hour of sleep? Well, some did. Those that weren't awoken at 3 a.m. And your mind is racing, and all of a sudden you start to become anxious. And why? What is going on here? You ever do that and you're thinking, man, if I don't get back to sleep, I'm not going to get an extra hour of sleep. And then you're even worked up worse. Why can't I go back to sleep and get this extra hour of sleep? Why didn't I just pray? Why didn't I just think about the Lord? Why didn't I just rejoice in the Lord? Why didn't I just start and, you know, kind of that, there's an old hymn, right? Count your many blessings, count them one. That's where I got to dwell. Why didn't I do what Paul told me to do last week? I mean, it was just last week. When I'm thinking about these things. The disnoble, the problems, the dishonest, the impure. Why didn't I just do what Paul said? Think about the good, the pure, the noble, things of a good report. Just think about Jesus. I think that's powerful that I would be in tune to what's really going on here. The spiritual world. Lord, help me just to not go through life totally ignoring it. And that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Wow. If I'm filled with His knowledge, if I'm in His will, if I have wisdom, and I do, you know, I might have the gift of wisdom, plus I have wisdom right there. Right? There's wisdom. And spiritual understanding. Wow. That I be walking worthy. What's all he's saying is that I'm a Christian. But there's no difference between me and any old unbelieving Joe There's no difference in my home. There's no difference in my life. There's nothing that would separate me and my lifestyle from any person on the face of the earth. Shouldn't be. I'm born again. I'm radically transformed. Spirit of God lives in me. Jesus has indwelt me. You know what? I'm a person of convictions. I will not do that. I will not touch that. I will not go near that. I've made a covenant with my eyes. Right? All Paul's saying is that as I'm in these things, that's what he wants for the church, right? That's what he wants for these saints, that they would be saints that are living as saints. People radically. My home's heaven. My home's an ark. My home's a place of worship. My home's a place of the Word. Why? Because I'm a Christian. That I might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Awesome, huh? Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. This is the Christian. This is the church that Paul is praying for. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. I haven't done it. The Lord did it. Isn't that neat? I didn't have to go out and, okay, this is your qualifying run, Jeff. You know, if you're good enough, you might sit on the pole. I don't know, but you made it in the race. None of us had to do that. I recognize the Lord. I've come to the place. I'm poor in spirit. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Save me. You're qualified. Why? Because of what Jesus did. I didn't have to do anything. Jesus did it all. He qualified. The Father qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Well, there's a lot there. The inheritance. Am I enjoying my inheritance? Am I living in my inheritance? I think we can live in it right now. Certainly, I want to have my eyes on it. Again, I just have to go. I do go to 1 Peter. I would say at least once a week, I got to read that. Man, that is my inheritance. Wow, is it deep. Wow, is it rich. Wow, is it full. It's yours now. It's something we possess right now. And I like that last word because, again, it just brings conviction into my life. You know, am I walking in the light? Am I living in the light? Or am I still messing around in the darkness? Turn to 1 Peter. We're just going to end here. Let's just remind ourselves, and then we'll finish this next week, this first one. But Peter's writing. Look at verse, we'll go to 1 Peter 1, verse 3. He's just saying what Paul's saying. Get this, but I need to have this in my heart and in my head. So it's real. Because it changes the outlook. It changes my focus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, again, it's He is the one who has qualified us The Father, it's His grace, it's His mercy, has begotten us again. Wow! I'm alive! You're alive this morning! Has gotten us, begotten us again to a living hope! Jesus is alive! He's alive, He's alive, He's alive! It's not some dead philosophy or some intellectual ism, or it's just, it's not that. It's He's God, He's real, He's alive. A living hope. He has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance. Just look at this. It's incorruptible. Everything I'm gathering, it's going to burn. I can have whatever I have. What are my most prized possessions? Physical, not people. I don't know. Land, I got land. Right? It's going to burn. I love my guitar. It's going to burn. I don't have any money in bank. So that's not going to burn. I wish I did. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It does not fade away. And I love this part. Reserved in heaven for you. Kept by the power of God through faith. I love that. We're in Christ. I don't know how many people, you know what, I accepted Christ. I don't know if I'm saved. You're saved. You can be assured of your salvation. Don't let Satan rip you off. It's reserved in heaven for me, for you. God and the Holy Spirit is completing that good work that He's begun in you of salvation, bringing you to maturity. And I like that place where, you know, we're going from, you might say, this stage of glory to this stage, to this stage, to this stage, to someday we're going to see Him face to face and be as He is. Wow. How we should long for that day. How we should, don't you at times just groan and you're burdened down? Oh, just you long for that. And again, Jude 24. That someday Jesus is going to present us to the Father. Faultless, without blemish. Wow! I don't feel faultless. I don't feel blemishless. I know my thought life. I know my temper. I know those anxious thoughts. And again, Satan would try and use that and just condemn and push me down. Oh, geez. You've been doing this long and it's already, what a joke. What a hypocrite. What a worthless piece of, you know. We won't go back to the old life with that next word. Kept by the power of God. You see, it's reserved and we're kept by God and by His power through faith for salvation. And he just goes on. I need to read that. That's our possession. That's our inheritance. And Paul says that he, God Himself, has qualified us and gifted that to us. How we should rejoice. How we should praise Him. How that should help me. You know, again, when we get into the grind and the drudge of the day and the week, man, this is where I'm headed. This is where I want my view to be. Everything else just, it's a bummer, isn't it? It's not, it's not a happy place. And I can even go hunting for a week, or I can go, you know, I don't know what your favorite thing is. You know, go to Disneyland or whatever you want to do. You know, go vacation for sure. By the end of it, it's just a bummer, isn't it? Geez, this is over. I got to go back to reality. What a bummer. How many of you gone on vacation wish you never even went? I have. I thought this was going to be fun. I thought this was going to save me. No. Well, how can we wrap this up? Paul, he desires the saints to have a grasp on the reality of who they are. They're saints. They're chosen. They've been qualified by God. They have an inheritance in this great possession. He's going to reveal to them, he's going to talk about Jesus and who Jesus is. That should build their faith. That should give them a, wow, you mean Jesus created all this and he's even holding it all together right now? You mean Jesus is Lord and Master? You might say ultimate controller? Yeah. Wow. How that builds my faith. How I can trust him. Lord, help us. Help us to be saints. Help us to live lives that are worthy of what we call ourselves. Lord, help me to be alive and to be in tune and to recognize your hand. You know what? Help me just to take up your command seriously, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lord, help me to testify of you, testify of your goodness. Help me to rejoice in the church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, just this introduction to this letter. This letter that Paul writes to this church. Lord, having never met them, by your Spirit, Lord, he's able, Lord, to hone right in on some really important things. Help us to fall in love with you again, Jesus. Lord, help us to go back. And even like the one letter that Jesus himself wrote to the church at Ephesus, Lord, help us maybe to go back and do the things we did at first. Lord, help me to have an excitement. Being in your presence. Lord, being able to handle your word. Lord, renew an intensity, Lord, in my life. That I would keep the important things. Lord, help me to have spiritual understanding and vision. Lord, help give me a compassion for the world, for the people, for the multitudes. Lord, help me to see their lostness and their hopelessness, the emptiness. And Lord, I thank you that you have not changed. Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, you are still the answer. Help me to live that and to share that. And Lord, I thank you so much for the saints, for the church. Revive us and renew us. Lord, help us to be, Lord, just focused on, Lord, the wonderful inheritance, Lord, that you have given us. Lord, help us to realize that this world is not where it's at. Father, I pray that as we leave here today, you would fill us anew and afresh. Lord, give us the enabling, Lord, to go from here, live our faith faithfully.